Jeremiah chapter 8, we're going to look down about verse 4 and we're going to read through verse 22. It says, "Moreover, thou shalt say unto them, Thus saith the Lord, shall they fall and not rise? Shall he turn away and not return? Why then is this people of Jerusalem slidden back by a perpetual backsliding? They hold fast deceit. They refuse to return. I hearken and heard, but they speak not aright. No man repenteth him of his wickedness, saying, What have I done? Everyone turneth to his course, as the horse rush into the battle. Yea, the storks in the heaven know her appointed time, and the turtle and the crane and the swallow observe the time of their coming. But my people know not the judgments of the Lord. How do we say, We are wise, and the law of the Lord is with us? Lo, certainly in vain made he it. The pen of the scribes is in vain. The wise men are ashamed. They are dismayed and taken. Lo, they reject the word of the Lord. And what wisdom is in them? Therefore will I give their wives also unto others, and their fields to them that shall inherit them. For every one from the least even unto the greatest is given to covetousness, from the prophet even unto the priest. Every one dealeth falsely. For they have healed the hurt of the daughters of my people, slightly, saying, Peace, peace, when there is no peace. Were they ashamed when they had committed adultery? Nay, they were not at all ashamed, neither shall they blush. Therefore shall they fall among them that fall in the time of their visitation. They shall be cast down, saith the Lord. I will surely consume them, saith the Lord. There shall be no grapes on the vine, nor figs on the fig tree, and the leaf shall fade, and the things that I have given them shall pass away from them. Why do we sit still? Assemble yourself, and let us enter into the defense city, and let us be silent there, for the Lord our God hath put us to silence, and given us water of gall to drink, because he has sinned, because we have sinned against the Lord. We looked for peace, but no good came, and for a time of health, and behold trouble. The snorting of the horses were heard from Dan. The whole land trembled at the sound of the neighing of his strong ones, for they are come and have devoured the land, and all that is in it, the city and those that dwell therein. For behold, I will send serpents and cockatrice among you, which will be charmed, and they shall bite you, saith the Lord. When I would comfort myself against sorrow, my heart is fainted in me. Behold, the voice of the cry of the daughter of my people, because of them that dwelleth in a far country. Is not the Lord in Zion? Is not her king in her? Why have they provoked me to anger with this graven image and with strange vanities? The harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we are not saved. For the hurt of the daughters of my people am I hurt. I am black. Astonishment hath taken hold on me. Is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Why then is not the health of the daughter of my people recovered?" Let's pray. Lord, we ask you now just to bless the reading of your word this morning. And Lord, as we look into your word, Lord, speak through us. Use us this morning. And Lord, hide us behind the cross. And if there's someone here that does not know you as their personal Savior, Lord, we ask you to save them this morning before it's everlastingly too late. We ask you this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. This morning I want to speak to you, the harvest is past. The summer is ended. And we are not saved. You ever thought about that statement? Any of you ever heard that statement before? Jeremiah here makes it that the harvest is past. The summer is ended. And we are not saved. Let me give you a little background on this story. Jeremiah and Isaiah lived overlapping times with each other. Over in the book of Isaiah, we'll see where the book of Isaiah, that Isaiah prophesied the going into captivity by Babylon. He said that Babylon will go and be taken into captivity. And Jeremiah comes back and tells us who was going to take them also. That Babylon was going to take them into captivity if they did not, what? Turn from their sin. Jeremiah chapter 8 here is talking about just that. The people of Israel was wicked. They followed after wicked idols. They refused to see what was right. They refused to call what was wrong, wrong. And yet, God says, okay, I've had enough. And He sends the Babylonian army in. A lot of them were killed. A lot of them were murdered. Some were taken into captivity for 70 years. We know later from the book of Daniel that Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego was part of those that were taken into captivity into Babylon. But here Jeremiah is trying to warn Israel of their sin. He says, if you don't start following Christ, if you don't start following God, rather, what's going to happen? You are going to go into sin. Jeremiah asked a question here. He says, why have they provoked me to anger with their graven images and with strange vanities? Why have they done it? You go back up in the few verses up ahead, he talks about that they've rejected the word of the Lord. And in verse 7 it says, my people know not the judgments of the Lord. Is it because they did not know what God was capable of doing to them? I dare say today, we in America do not know the judgments of the Lord. Are you listening? We don't know what God can do. You can go ask Israel. They know. They know very well the judgments of the Lord. See, America is one of these. We have been blessed very greatly. You know why we've been blessed? I bet our young people here has no clue why we've been blessed. You know why? Because they don't teach it in the school no more. We have been blessed because we was a nation born under God, with God as our leader. And we was aiming to follow God from the start of this country. But what's happened? We no longer follow God in our nation. In fact, mentioning the name God will get you thrown out of places. Think about it. You mention the name God in schools now and you're going to have a fit. You'll have people wanting to bring up you on charges. Why? Because you mention God's name. You say, I don't think James Bowie is that bad yet. Well, just wait. We got teachers already out there teaching heresy. Amen. I know I've had a run-in with some. Probably have some more run-in. Why? Because when they go against God's word, I'm going to call them on it. Amen? That's what we as preachers are supposed to do. But see, our country does not know God's judgment. God here is telling Israel, He said, look, unless you turn from your wickedness, unless you turn from your ways and start turning back to me, I'm going to bring judgment. Jeremiah asked a question. He said in verse 5, why then is this people of Jerusalem slidden back by perpetual backsliding? They hold fast deceits and they refuse to return. You know, that's America today. See, We got to understand, as Jeremiah was writing this, not only to Israel at that time, but in the Word of God, all the prophets had a dual prophecy. You realize that? When Isaiah prophesied things, it was for then and for later. When Jeremiah prophesied things, as he's doing now in chapter 8, he is saying something's going to happen to us, and then this is going to happen again in the future. It's for us later. We got to realize God's always trying to warn us to follow Him. God wants us to live for Him, to love Him, to serve Him. But now, people are no longer afraid of God. They no longer fear God. They no longer have a holy respect for God. They no longer care about what God thinks. Why? Because we've had this teaching going around in our nation called humanism, that you can become your own God. Everything's right in your own eyes. Everything's right, and it's wrong. It's wrong. We see in our country that the harvest is past. The summer is ended, and we are not saved. You realize that? You sit back and you look at our country just in the last 10 years, or where we went. Have we went up, or have we went down? I'm pointing this out to you for a reason this morning, to show you that we as Christians are the one to blame. We're the one to blame. We carried the blame. Why? Because we refused to listen to God. We refused to stand up and do what's right. Just the other day, most of you have probably heard, but now, if not, let me fill you in. Kim Davis, a clerk in Kentucky, that gives marriage license, refused to issue marriage license because it was against her belief. What happens? They haul her into court. The judge throws her into jail. But tell me something, church. What law did she break? No law. You say, but the Supreme Court rule. Supreme Court cannot make law in our country. They can only rule on law. They cannot make it. You show me the law and I'll apologize, but there is no law written at what she broke. By the way, did you know she's in jail this morning with no bond? She can't bond out. Why? Because of the technicality that the judge put her in jail on. So what's that? Refusing to obey. So he put her in jail. And she'll sit there until she recants or the governor pardons her. It's the only way. You say, preacher, what's the deal? Well, I can tell you what the deal is. That's where our country is this morning. Our country, if you had told me 10 years ago that was going to happen in America, I would have laughed and said, no. But it is. Preachers are next. The churches are next. You say, preacher, they need laws. They don't. They've already proved they don't have to have a law. They just need to have some made-up reason and put her in jail. My prayer this morning is that God gives her victory and a double blessing. Why? Because she's standing up for the Lord. That's it. She's standing up for what's right in our country. I got another question that you haven't heard asked. Let me ask you. Have you heard of anybody else saying, well, what about all the rest of the clerks in the United States? Every county has got one. And they're still issuing. Are they all lost? Are they saved? Good question. The Bible says over in the book of Matthew, If you are ashamed of me, I will be ashamed of you before my Father which is in heaven. Amen. I'm not ashamed of Christ this morning. I don't care if they throw me in jail. I'm going to stand for Christ. Why? Because that's what we're called to do. We're called to stand up. We're called to proclaim the Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior. But this is where we're at in our country. This is where we're going. The thing is, unless we correct where we're going, we're all going to be in trouble one day. We're going to be doing what Israel had to do. You say, preacher, what happened with Israel? Where did God send Israel? Well, let's go back and look at that. Over in, son, I'm out of order already, so don't worry about it. Verse 12 says, were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? Jeremiah 8:12 is where I'm at. Were they ashamed when they committed abomination? Nay. They were not ashamed at all. Neither could they blush. Therefore shall they fall among them that fall in the time of their visitation. They shall be cast down, saith the Lord. What's going on? God says, okay. They were living in sin. They refused to admit that they had sin. They continue to live in sin. By the way, you know today, I had a young man ask me here the other day, preacher, what's sin? What would you answer? People say, well, just disobeying God. No. That's not sin. It is, but it's not sin. What he was wanting me to do was name some sin. Tell him some sin. Why? Because preachers and churches are not preaching against sin no more. They do not proclaim, thus saith the Lord. Why? Because sin is getting to be, oh, that's just a generic term. We don't really sin. People look around saying, who, me sin? I don't sin. You know, me going out here and getting drunk, me taking a drink, that's not sin. Well, it's changing your ability. It's changing the way you think. It's the changing the way you act, the way you walk, the way you talk. Some people are on drugs. By the way, there's more people on drugs than you know. I'm not talking about the illegal kind either. Some are on the illegal kind. I'm talking about the prescription kind. Those you can go to the doctor and get it. They can make you act as goofy as a... Well, I won't go there. You know what I'm talking about. Why? Because what do? What's sin about it? They take control of you. They do not let you think. They do not let you walk and talk like you should. And God says that He wants to be in control of you. Not a drug. Not alcohol. Not smoking. All these things are sin. Why? Because they harm you. They destroy you. They keep you from living the kind of life that's pleasing to God. And we don't preach against it no more in our churches. Why? And then for people to say, what's sin? The people here in Jeremiah's day are saying, Lord, they just kept on going, doing their own thing. Why? Because they didn't have a clue what they're talking about. Verse 13, I will surely consume them, saith the Lord. There shall be no grapes on their vine, nor figs on their fig tree, and their leaves shall fade. In other words, what's going to happen? It's going to be a famine. Did you know right before, history bears this out, before Babylon came into Israel to take them into captivity, Israel went through 10 years of a hard famine. Guess what, where America is today? America is in a famine situation. I was talking to farmers this year in our area. You realize you don't see the produce sitting on the roads no more like you did last year. Why? Because we had all this rain that we well needed back in the spring. But we haven't had a drop since, so to speak. We had a little bit here yesterday. Not to make it a sauna. But, you know, I praise the Lord for that because it kind of settled the dust for about an hour. Amen. But here's the thing. We are in a famine. We're in a famine. I ran into a a man that grows a lot of watermelons. And usually every year, he'll see me. He said, "Hey, preacher, just get you one. Go get you one, man." And this year, he didn't have any. He said, "Preacher, it's just too hot and dry. They didn't do any good." You that's had gardens this year know what I'm talking about. I chose not to put one in because I didn't know when I had time. But last year I had one and the weeds took it before I could. Amen? But that's what happens. We're in a famine in America. Did you know the corn crops out north of town, off DeKalb, down by the river? The flood took care of all those. Corn is estimated to be down 30% this year. 30%. And the harvest hasn't even been taken in yet. So they don't know what they're actually down. What I'm trying to tell you, church, just as Jeremiah was prophesying to them, he's also telling us today, we need to get back to serving God. What else is happening here? Verse 14, "Why do we sit still? Assemble yourselves and let us enter into the defense cities and let us be silent there. For the Lord our God hath put us to silent and give us water of gall to drink." The word gall is similar, it's similar to vinegar. Bitter. Nasty tasting. And to Americans, that's about the only thing we can know that we can relate to it. But they have, it's a mixture of some things that is very bitter tasting. Because we have sinned against the Lord. This is what God is going to give them. Verse 15, "We look for peace, but no good came, and for a time of health, and behold trouble." Then it says, "The snorting of his horses were heard from Dan. The whole land trembled at the sound of their neighing of his strong ones." This is a picture of war. War. In other words, Jeremiah is saying, look, this is what's going to happen. First, you're going to have a famine here. Sure enough, history bears it out. There was 10 years of famine before Babylon came in. When famine followed, then they started having a very silent time. Why? Because they had gall to drink. In other words, the things that they had that you and I would think would be a luxury, God had turned them into vanity. God had wasted it for them. God had poured it out. In other words, Israel was known for the juice, the grape juice and things like this. It all was wasted. It was vanity. And then God says, you hear the horses coming. War's coming. And war swept in with Babylon. And Babylon took them into captivity. And what they did not kill, what they did not pillage, what they did not destroy, they took back to Babylon with them as slaves. And church, you think God's going to not do that to America? We got another thing coming. What do we need to do? The Bible said the summer's coming. It's getting close. And we're not saved. The harvest is over with. But we're not saved. We need to open our spiritual eyes this morning. Why? Because God is trying to do a work in our country, but nobody is willing to take a stand for the Lord. Nobody. You know, we've seen this week, a lady stood up and she got thrown in jail. We need others willing to stand up. So, preacher, I'll just get thrown in jail. So, blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. Blessed be the name of the Lord for being persecuted for His cause. This morning, how is it in your life? How is it? Are you ready to meet Him? You realize that He's coming? He's coming real soon. The harvest is past. The summer is ended. and we are not saved. We're not saved. You say, preacher, what do I need to do? You need to submit your life unto the Lord. You that claim to be Christians, you need to say, hey, look, I'm saved. I'm going to give my life totally, 100% back to Him. And have Him have His will and His way in your life. By the way, you know what the results of that would be? God's blessings upon your life. I have people every week. Brother Gregor's not a week goes by. I have at least one or two people or more ask me, so preacher, why is God not blessing me? It's real simple. Until you start putting God first in your life, in everything, and you remove all sin. You say, preacher, does that mean I'm not going to slip up? No, it don't mean you're going to slip. You're going to slip up. We all do. But we have to go to the Lord and say, Lord, forgive me. I'm sorry. I messed up. Forgive me. But you know, we need to strive to do the way God wants us to. Because sin will destroy you. Give you a story and we'll close. I have an older brother. He's dead now. He was chief maintenance person for Tyler Piping Foundry for 25 years. He was good at what he did. He could take a 18-wheeler and take a motor out of it and drop another one in and have it all fixed up and humming within 2 hours. That's pretty good. He was a good mechanic. But you know, he got on the bottle. He thought, well, I remember him telling my mom, hey, look, I just do it socially when I'm, you know, with the guys and all this. But you know, it started claiming more and more of his life. Next, his kids wouldn't have anything to do with him. They seen Daddy coming home, more than likely he's had one too many and he's going to be ready to beat them. They always ran when the neighbors stayed with other friends because they didn't want to stay home with Daddy at home. And then his wife had enough. Says, I can't take no more. It was getting to where him being the chief mechanic, now, let me tell you, he had a C-130 transport plane sitting on the tarmac at Tyler with everything in it to build 3 diesel mechanics from start to finish and 1 ready to go. And they flew him all over the United States when their trucks broke down. And he could get them up and running. He had his own crew that goes with him. He had all of that. 25 years. And it all went up in smoke. Because they couldn't have him being drunk when they needed him on the job. What happened? He lost his job. He lost his wife. He lost his family, his kids. And he died a drunkard. He told me about 6 months before he died. He said, John, I know I'm saved, but he said, God's not going to be pleased with me. He said, I am so tied up in knots with this that I can't turn it loose. He said, I feel like I got to have it. Kind of like a drug addict. He gets up in the morning, he starts drinking. He goes to bed drinking. He drank all day long. He was taking his little bitty Social Security check and every dime spending it on alcohol. So, preacher, why are you bringing that up? I don't know if you've seen the paper last Sunday. Last Sunday, we see where Redwater, New Boston and DeKalb are going to want to start selling alcohol. What's that going to do? You say, well, preacher, we're in Sims. It doesn't affect us. Yes, it does. Your kids will be able to have easier access to it. I see Dakota sitting here with a squib shirt on. Young man. Believed he was saved, but yet he went to a party last year and somebody had alcohol. And I met the young man a couple of times. But you know something? He was drinking and driving. He had a wreck. He hit somebody. Another friend of mine, Whitehead, we went to church together and hit him head on. And both of them were killed. I'm telling you, church, we got to take a stand. It's time to stand up. It's time to call sin what it is, sin. It's time to say, Lord, I won't be counted. They send me to jail, so be it. So be it. But it's time to stand up. Why? Because the harvest is past. The summer is ended. And yet we're not saved. Yet we're not ready to meet Him. You know, I'm going to be teaching and preaching here next Sunday night on the blood moons. You say, preacher, I don't know a whole lot about that. Well, come find all about it. Because we're going to be laying it all out for you. Who knows? If the one that's saying it put it together, if they're right, the Lord could be just right around the corner, which I know He is anyway. I don't need blood moons to tell me that. Amen? I can see all the signs of everything else, but it all's fitting into God's plan. It's all fitting into His plan. Are you ready? Do you know Him? Are you ready? I believe if you have the windows of heaven open and you was able to look into heaven right now and see the activity that was going on in heaven, I believe you'll see Gabriel standing over by the gate of heaven. He's licking his lips. He's got the golden trumpet in his hand. And he's got all of his attention focused back on God the Father. And we see the Lord Jesus Christ standing there and he's looking up at his Father and says, Lord, is it time, God? Is it time? Is it time? And they're just waiting for God the Father to give the nod. And it will be over with in less than a second. You say, preacher, you believe it? Yes, I do. I believe that's how close we are to eternity. Question is, are you ready? Are you ready? You say, well, preacher, aren't there some things that's got to take place before the Lord comes? Oh, no, nothing. Everything is ready to go. We're waiting on His coming. Question is, are you ready? When He comes, will He find you living in a life of sin? Will He find you under the influence? Will He find you incapacitated because of drugs and other things in your life? How would God find you on His return? With every head bowed and every eye closed, how is it in your life? Do you know you're ready to meet Jesus? Are you? Are you ready to meet Him this morning?